From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The federal government appears ready to make amends for a dark period in Indian relations 123 years ago that took timber and land from six northern Minnesota Chippewa reservations. The Duluth News Tribune reports legislation is advancing in Washington that would release $20 million in settlements to the Fond du Lac, Boys Fort, Grand Portage, Leech Lake, Mille Lacs, and White Earth bands of Chippewa. The money originally was awarded in 1999, but has been tied up ever since. Now totaling more than $28 million with interest, a recently struck compromise among five of the six bands will see part of the money divided among individual enrolled members of the five bands, $300 for each person, with almost $3 million awarded to each of the six band governments. The issue has roots in congressional passage of the Dawes Act of 1887 and the Nelson Act of 1889 that split up thousands of acres of what had been reservation land to individuals. Much of that land was bought by the government, timber and railroad barons, and non-Indians, leaving little within reservation boundaries actually controlled by the Chippewa. For example, White Earth lost all but 800 acres, and Indians saw little of the money they were promised under the Act for the land they lost. In 1999, a federal court awarded a $20 million Nelson Act settlement to be split between the six bands involved, but officials of those bands were unable to agree on how the money should be divided. Pending an agreement, the Bureau of Indian Affairs decided not to release the money. Now an agreement has been struck between five of the six bands, with Leech Lake still not signing on. Legislation to release the money is being pushed by Senator Al Franken and Representatives Colin Peterson and Chip Kravac. North Shore Mining Company will pay a $240,175 penalty for air quality violations at its taconite processing plant in Silver Bay. The MPCA calculated that North Shore Mining violated its permit limits for very fine dust nearly 30 times between November of 2010 and May of 2011. Dust deposits were also documented at the Silver Bay Marina nearby. The company's taken initial corrective actions to limit and control future dust emissions and to prevent future violations. North Shore Mining will also spend $79,825 to upgrade the MPCA's aging air quality monitoring network. Patty Johnson is the Superior National Forests Fuels Specialist. She spoke with WTIP's Kara Thomas about Forest Service plans as we enter a drought-dry spring.
Joining us now in the studio is Patty Johnson. She is the Prescribed Fire and Fuels Specialist for the U.S. Forest Service and spends her time here at the Gunflint Ranger Station in Grand Marais, as well as at the Tofty Station. Welcome, Patty. Thank you for coming in. Just last week, the State Department of Natural Resources fire officials sent out a news release alerting people to increasing concerns over spring fire conditions. And we've been in a drought for quite a while. With several big fires behind us over the past few years, what preparation steps are being taken here on the Superior National Forest?
At this time, we're pretty much just monitoring weather conditions over the next month. This is the time when we tend to start seeing our snow levels go down. So if we don't get some significant moisture over the next month or so, we'll be talking with our partner agencies, the DNR and the county, about some actions to maybe bring more people in to be ready for when snow off happens. We'll be talking about if we need extra funding to help pay for those type of resources. So those are the type of things we'll be talking about over the next month as we watch the weather and what happens, whether we get more moisture or not.
Okay. Well, what can homeowners and landowners do to minimize the chance of early spring wildfires?
Well, typically early spring wildfires are grass fires on the shore here. Those are what we typically get in April and early May until we start to see some lightning activity and campers out in the woods. And typically those grass fires are started from people burning debris in their yards. Mm-hmm. So people just need to be very cautious when they're doing that. You know, you do have to get a permit from the DNR. There is several guidelines and recommendations they give when they give you a permit, and to really follow those carefully and be able to keep that fire where it's at. Most likely there'll be some restrictions this spring if we don't get some moisture. And so following those restrictions too, and being smart about it when you have just even a campfire in your backyard or whatever.
Well, that was my next question. With ice out and wilderness camping season starting in May, if we haven't had any rain by then, could there be campfire restrictions right away?
There possibly could be. That's something we will be discussing over the next month as, you know, the snow off occurs. Even if there are restrictions, really caution people always to be careful when they're using their campfires and to follow the regulations and the guidelines in terms of how to make sure your campfire is out. Lots of times when we do campfire restrictions, sometimes there's a lag period between getting all the information out to the public, and sometimes there's people already in the woods. So just because we say there's a restriction doesn't mean that people aren't out there using fires, and no matter whether there's restrictions or not, people just really need to be careful in how they're using their campfires and be smart about it.
Right. Well, would the Forest Service consider any preventative measures early on, such as controlled burns?
Yeah, and that'll, you know, as we go into the spring season and we look at how much drought we're in, that will be a factor in whether we do any prescribed burning this spring. Always is, as we start looking at weather factors. And there may not be spring burning if we don't get significant moisture and we go very hot and dry quickly. So right. That's kind of a scenario that would say, no, we're probably too dry to be doing any prescribed burning.
Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Patty Johnson. She's with the U.S. Forest Service. She's the prescribed fire and fuel specialist here in Cook County. Is there anything that you wanted to add about the spring fire danger, Patty?
Well, everybody knows that last fall we started to go into a drought. This winter we haven't gotten normal snowfalls. We're almost in a record year for low moisture. So as we go into the spring, even if we get a lot of moisture, once we get a week or two of drying, because soils aren't saturated, the fuels aren't saturated, it doesn't mean that the fire danger goes away. So even if it rains, we get some rain for a while, we could dry back out. It could be all spring, all summer, until we catch up with our moisture levels, that we see elevated fire danger. So as we talked about earlier, people just need to be cautious with using fire.
All right. Patty Johnson, U.S. Forest Service, really appreciate you coming in today.
No problem.
Thank you.
Motorists will encounter a detour on Highway 1 south of Ely beginning Tuesday, February 21st, while crews blast and remove rock in preparation to reconstruct a 5-mile section of Highway 1 next spring and summer. Minnesota Department of Transportation engineers estimate the work will take at least 3 weeks. About 5 miles of Highway 1 will be closed between Forest Road 424 New Tomahawk Road and just north of Forest Road 553. Motorists will be required to follow the posted detour, which is about 30 miles long. According to MnDOT engineers, they have uncovered significant amounts of rock in numerous areas along the route that were anticipated to be granular or regular soil materials. As a result of the needed additional rock blasting and removal, MnDOT will have to detour motorists for more days than originally expected and reopen Highway 1 as soon as possible. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.